Hey guys. So, how's your inviting for women's conference coming? Is that going well? I'm getting some good responses and I'm really excited. Hey Vivian, good to see you. Yeah, so I'm excited. God is doing amazing things. There's been some divine appointments that the Lord has set up for me this week. You know, when somebody says to you, hey, my son's in Christian school, I want you to meet this other woman, and I don't know who she is, but she's got this movement. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let me do it. And then when I'm sitting there and I have to go meet her, I'm like, I just overextended myself, right? I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How am I going to meet this woman? And then the Lord just makes it happen. And I just believe it's such a divine appointment. I don't know what her name is yet. Well, I'm sure they told me what her name was, but she's a powerful woman. And she is working with Lou Engle to get a million women on the mall in Washington, D.C. They're praying, and one of the slogans is, you can't have our kids. And one of the visions that they have is to have 5,000 praying women, and the men are included, obviously, in those, but having prayer hubs in all the cities and states of the U.S. And I believe that this is a powerful, powerful movement that I think is so important for churches to get involved in, because where prayer happens, things change. Amen. So I just know that God is connecting us with really strategic people that have great faith. And, you know, we have been called for such a time as this to connect with the right people. So as I get all those details and as we register the hub, and if you want to be a person that wants to help me be the point person for that connection, I'd love that to be, because I've got a lot of things going on. So if somebody wants to be the admin person for that connection, let me know, because Bree's like doing so much. And, you know, I just want to make sure that if you do have some capacity and you want to be involved in that, come and help me. And then you can just do all the registrations for us. And then when we have more information, I'm going to let you guys know. But it's really exciting, and it's really stirred something in my spirit for us. And what happens when you pray about something, you start acting on what you're praying about. Amen. So Jesus was very smart. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest, send out the laborers into the field. And then when the disciples started praying, he said, now go into the field and gather the harvest. So when we start praying about something, our hearts start stirring about issues and we become activated, right? But when we're not praying about stuff, then we kind of like are not as moved by things. We're not as aware. And the Bible says that the sons of Issachar understood the times that they were living in. They understood the times that they were living in. And as parents and as elders of the city, as pastors, as a church in the city, we have to understand the times that we're living in so that we can stand on the gates and pray for our nation, pray for our city, pray for our children. And we have to discern where we're at in the times. We have to know, why were the fires in Maui? What happened? We have to see and understand what's happening. We have to understand what's happening in our public schools. Even if we don't have kids in our public schools, we have to understand, because we are the intercessors that God has called, amen? And I believe that we are going to just awaken from the slumber that we're in, amen? And as we know these issues, the thing is to gain the knowledge and then to process it and then to take the word and to make declarations of the word over the situation. And then it's also to disciple our kids. So everything that God highlights to us and things that are happening in the world, you sit your kids down and say, hey, you know what happened there? I want to tell you what happened. And this is what the locals are saying happened there. So with my kids, they may be 11 and 8 and 5, but with the 11 and 8-year-old, if there's something that happened in our nation and there's investigative journaling and people are actually coming up and saying, hey, this is what's happening, then I tell them what's happening, because what I want to produce is critical thinking. okay? You want to make sure that your kids and those people around you are critical thinkers. And so what is happening in our society right now is that people are dumbed down. We are watching social media. We are watching Housewives of Orange County. We're watching sports. We're playing games and a lot of games and a lot of games and those kind of things. That's what our kids are doing. So what I do is I say, put down the games. Let's just chat about a few things that happened. And then they start asking me questions. And so what is happening? I am awakening in them a critical spirit, no matter what age that is. And that is what discipleship is. It's taking them along the journey and actually telling them exactly what's going on and then asking them, and they'll start asking questions about it. And that's how they start. And you'll start realizing, do they understand the issue? The same thing when you're teaching your kids scripture. When you take one scripture, you say, like I did Joshua 1 verse 8 with my kids the other day, I said, the scripture says meditate on the word. Dan, what does meditate mean? Well, the world says meditate is emptying your mind. Okay. So the moment you empty your mind, the Bible says that if you're empty, that you are making room for the demonic to come in, right? So, but what the Bible meditation is to fill your mind with scripture and then to think about it. Lord, you said, meditate on your word day and night. Do not let it depart from your lips. So meditate is think about it, okay? So for kids, they don't understand what meditate is because meditate has a whole new meaning in today's age. So meditate in God's is think about it. Think about the scripture. Think about what is God trying to say to me. And then as you meditate on day and night, then you start speaking about it. It says, do not let it depart from your lips. And then the third thing is do whatever it tells you to do, okay? And then you will have great success. So just taking that one scripture can be just 15 minutes of dialoguing and explaining and how does that work? Because you see, what religion does is we think about it, we speak it, but then we don't do it, right? Or sometimes we don't even start thinking about it. We don't even know what the word of God says. And so as we are stepping into that place of being aware of what's happening in our world and ourselves becoming critical thinkers, not critical spirits, okay? There's a difference between a critical thinker and that person that has a critical spirit. Well, you can criticize the government and how bad our president is all day long, but what you're producing is hatred, division, and whenever you speak to somebody that's different from you, you can't have an intelligent conversation with that person because you have hatred. You've produced in yourself hatred. But a critical mindset is more one of wanting to find out what is going on so that you can produce a solution, okay? So we never, ever want to produce kids that are hateful or are in one, or they get confused as to political affiliations. They think that this party is God's party and that party is the devil's party because that's confusion. And it's not true. So we have to tell them there are people in both parties that are totally demonic and doing the wrong thing. And then there's some people, so we have to be critical thinkers. We've got to see what are they saying, how are they acting, and what is the fruit in their lives. Let's look at their families. Let's look at their, you know, their marriages, their children, and let's actually see, you know, let's pray about it. And so that's how we teach critical thinking, asking questions and figuring out according to God's word what the right path is. And today I'm going to be speaking about spiritual disciplines. We spoke about it the week before. And if you weren't here, go and watch it. It's on YouTube. We loaded it on YouTube. So I'd like you to go and just get a glimpse of what I spoke about last week. But spiritual disciplines are things that we do, are habits that we follow, that we saw that the early church did, that produced results. Okay, so the habits that we do, daily habits, weekly habits, yearly habits that the early church engaged in that produced powerful results. And they taught us the pattern. God gave us a pattern and he gave us disciplines to follow. And these disciplines, Timothy says this, that spiritual discipline ought to be done to produce godliness. What is my motivation to have spiritual discipline? I am becoming godly. Well, when you're born again, you've got God within you, but I've got to live God out. Okay. So as I do the spiritual disciplines, I am spending time with God and I am becoming like God in the way I think, in my countenance, in everything. So if we come, so there's a few spiritual disciplines. The first is prayer. That's a spiritual discipline. Well, prayer can be a discipline that leads you to godliness, or it could be a religious act. The Pharisees came and they stood on the corners of the streets and they did the prayer thing so that they could be seen. Now, every spiritual discipline can be pharisaical or it can be in the spirit and in power. So if I approach my spiritual discipline that today I am going to spend time with God, I'm going to connect with God, I refuse to leave. Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm not coming to do two worship songs unless I step into the presence of the Lord, right? I'm not just going to sing a song. I am going to step into the presence of the Lord. That's a spiritual discipline that connects me to the power that there is in praise and worship. It breaks off depression. It breaks off unbelief. It breaks off things and attitudes that are not of God. So when I have the spiritual discipline of worship, I am doing it so that I can step into God's presence immediately by faith. Not because of the band is good, because they might be out of key. Somebody might be missing a note there. It's irrelevant because I've decided, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I am commanding my soul to step into the spiritual discipline that I've learned from David, that I've learned from the Israelites when they went to war and they worshiped. Something broke in the spiritual realm and it manifested in the physical realm. So I have seen in the Bible that when people engaged in praise and worship, there was a victory. Therefore, as a child of God, I see that that is a spiritual discipline that I need to engage in. I have to engage in it personally at home by singing, by praying in the Spirit, by just lifting my hands and worshiping the Lord at home. And then I do it corporately because there's spiritual disciplines that we do personally, and then the Bible instructs us to do it corporately. That's worship. Prayer. The Bible shows us that prayer done in faith can change physical attributes. Jesus, when he went to pray on the mount with his three disciples, the Bible says that his face shone and his face was physically altered from a man's face into and almost like an angelic face, right? He was transformed. Moses, his face was filled with the glory of God so that he had to cover his face. There was a physical transformation. My question is, why are we not seeing physical transformations in today's day? Maybe it's because we do not pray enough. Or maybe it's because we do not seek God's face and really by faith want to encounter him. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. So our disciplines, we go in and we say, Lord, I want you to encounter me today. I refuse to read the Bible and get a moral story out of that, like, you know, be a good person, forgive or whatever. No, I have to be encountered in my inward being so that I am totally transformed into being like God. When I walk out of my prayer closet, I am like God. People stop. When I speak, they're like, I heard a different voice. I saw a different countenance. I perceive that she has been with Jesus. When the disciples had been with Jesus, they said, why was our heart burning, you know, within us? Because they had encountered Jesus. The same thing with the disciples. They said, but these aren't ordinary men. They are fishermen, but they had been with Jesus. Something is different about them. And that's what spiritual disciplines do when they are done by faith in the Spirit. They are transformational. Your life is transformed. It is just every year there is just new and more and just greater measure, a greater measure of His glory. And God is looking for us to understand that when we walk like the disciples and we do what the Church of Acts does, we will see the results that they saw. Because they were totally given over. They withheld nothing. Worship, prayer, service. When we go and serve in Children's Church, we serve, check in, we serve as ushers. The Bible says that's worship unto Jesus. So we can't be flippantly going to give a lesson to the kids unless we go and we say, by faith, Lord, encounter these kids. Meet them in their deeper most spirit. May they not walk out of here the way that they came in. Father God, I thank you that you're going to use me and their lives will be forever changed. When I am ushering people, thank you, Father God, that you give me divine appointments today, that I can be an encouragement to somebody that is desperate, somebody that might want to take their lives, somebody that is feeling lonely. Father God, I thank you that I am not flippantly doing this and thinking, well, why am I doing the ushering? Surely there's something more important for me. But Lord, may it be that as I come and serve, I encounter the supernatural. I am used by you, Father God, to be your hands and your feet, because this is no small thing. Church is holy. It's a holy institution appointed by God. It is the only vessel that God will use to preach the gospel in the world. It is the only vessel that God will use to disciple people. And so even as imperfect as church is, it is the imperfect vessel that God has chosen to go and preach the gospel, bring people in, and make disciples of all nations. He gave us a model. He gave us the fivefold ministry to equip who? The saints. To equip who? For what? The work of the ministry. So the saints must do the ministry. So if we are coming to Wednesday night services and we come to Sunday night services, but we are not doing the work of the ministry, well, then we have become part of the religious system. And that is something that God is not pleased with, right? So everything that we do, even every song that we sing, every tithe that we give has to be done by faith. In expectation, giving it and saying, Lord, I'm giving this by faith. It can never be a religious act. Everything that we do is an act of faith. Because the Bible says this, that whatever you do that is not in faith is what? Sin. It's a sin. So we never want to be serving or praying or reading our Bibles and just like, rambling through it, like I've got to do my Bible plan, so I'm just reading these scriptures. No, I have to encounter God. Have to encounter God. Because the Word is God. And He became flesh and He dwelt among us. And when I read, I'm going to encounter. So we have to become so desperate for the Word. The Bible says this, how can a young man keep his heart pure? How can he keep his heart pure, his life pure? By taking heed according to the Word. You want your kids to be pure? Teach them to read the Word. It has to be a discipline, a daily discipline. I remember when my dad said to me, Lucinda, don't try and change yourself. Just read the Word. And I was living in sin. I'm born again, but living in sin. I started reading the Word and reading the Word and reading the Word, and God completely changed my life. Why? Because it's the truth that sets you free. So we want our kids to be in the Word, but not as a religious thing, just to encounter and to ask God questions and to have a critical mindset and think, say, Lord, how does this work? You know, God is not afraid of questions. He's God. We have to allow people to ask questions because that's how they get to know God. So reading the Word, meditating on the Word, thinking about it, questioning the Word. And the second thing is an encounter with Holy Spirit. Two things. The Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So there are two ways that God sets you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we want to make a space, an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in, where He is welcome. How do we create that atmosphere? We pray, we invite Him in. When you're in the coffee shop, you can create that atmosphere. Just say, hey, can I pray with you? I went to see a lady. My husband organized another meeting for me. I'm like, oh my goodness. And again, I was like, Lord, please, I don't have time for meetings. Like, this has to be a divine appointment, you know? So I go, and she's telling me about all these, the schools and everything. And afterwards, I just said, hey, may I pray with you? And I just laid my hands on her, and she just received it. So we have to create atmospheres where we can invite the Holy Spirit in to come and touch people, to come and heal people. That's what the Church of Acts did. They were always creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to heal, to set free, to deliver. We create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move when we preach. When we preach healing, guess what happens? People get healed. When we preach salvation, guess what happens? People get saved. So when we preach the gospel, we are creating an atmosphere. And that's what the Church of Acts looked like. They're spiritual disciplines. It's things that you do that results in you being like God. So the doing has to produce a being, becoming. But I don't really want to use the becoming because I feel like that creates the wrong doctrine because you already are. If you have Christ in you, you already have the hope of glory in you. You don't have to become holy. You are holy. It's just your mindset and your thought patterns that have to align. And when we teach our kids this kind of doctrine, they'll understand that they don't have to work towards righteousness. They are righteous. So when you mess up, it's okay. You just ask for forgiveness and God forgives us and then we walk out the righteousness. Amen? Because as we focus on His holiness and His holiness in us, we know that we are holy, we are righteous, and then those habits stop happening. Amen? We don't desire to do the things that we used to do because we're focusing on His holiness. People think that they don't want to preach about holiness because people will be put off. No, in actual fact, it's His holiness that draws people. It's His righteousness that draws people because He is a perfect God. So sharing your faith is a spiritual discipline. It's something that we should be doing daily. And you might be a little bit afraid in the beginning, but the more you do it, the more God is going to equip you, and you're going to realize that sharing the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Amen. When you start seeing people respond, you're going to be like, I'm going to keep doing this. This is fun, right? I remember when I started, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I would get into a cab. I'm like, this guy can't do anything. I'm paying the fee. He's in here for an hour. Let's go. I'd pray in the spirit. And then I'd be like, you know, God has got a plan and purpose for your life. And I'm telling you, so many times God would use that, and I would be able to pray with people, and God would really encounter these people. But it's the boldness. And there were other times when I was really bold and I'd share the gospel and then I'd get into a fight, right? And then God would be like, well, that was stupid. He's like, are you trying to prove me right? He says, I don't need you to do that. It's okay for people to have a different thought pattern, just share the gospel. And so then I learned, Pastor Jared teaches this amazing format of sharing the gospel. And how they teach you is, you, if somebody asks you a question or disagrees, it's okay. And you just keep sharing the gospel. And I started learning how to share the gospel in such a way that I wasn't offended by anybody's different opinions, but I would just keep sharing the gospel and say, it's okay that you don't. And I just carry on, and they'd hear the whole gospel. And by the end, they've disagreed with me, but they've heard the whole gospel, and I've preached it by faith. Now it's in their spirit. Guess what? There's nothing they can do about it. It's there. Because I preach by faith, it's lodged in their spirit. They're going to wake up at 12 o'clock at night and they're going to be like, that woman was really annoying. But I can't shake what she told me. In London, I would go and I'd see these street preachers, something that I never saw in South Africa, really. And it was very intriguing. And I was like, well, how effective are these guys? And Stella, and then I would start hearing testimonies of a drug addict and a drug runner that would be running the streets of Sao Paulo, and a woman would be preaching the gospel, and this drug runner would hear the gospel, and then he got caught and he was put in jail, and that night he repents and gives his life to the Lord because of a street preacher. And I remember meeting that guy in London. His wife and him came and saw me in London, and he shared that message. And I started realizing that if we just faithful to preach, we don't know, we're just sowing the seeds, and people can be openly rejecting the gospel. But guess what? You don't know what's going to happen that night. You don't know what's going to happen 3 years later. You don't know what's going to happen when somebody else comes and waters the seed and prays for them. We just faithful in sharing the gospel. But as you do it, God is teaching you how to do it, in a way that's effective, how to do it in love, how not to be put off when somebody disagrees with you. We have to allow people to have critical mindsets. We are not all the same. We are not robots. We don't all have the same backgrounds. We weren't all born into the same religious affiliations. That's life. But as we understand the power of the gospel, that it's supernatural, that it transcends backgrounds, we will be faithful in the spiritual discipline of sharing our faith. We'll be bold. Amen. The spiritual discipline of giving. You'll only understand the power of giving when you start giving. Thank goodness I started when I was 13. And God just provided for me throughout my life. So I knew this is the way to do it. And I thank you that I'm grateful that I was experiencing those miracles from a young age, because it gave me great faith. Prayed for houses, prayed for cars, prayed for all kinds of things. And people, oh, I've got a car for you in London. Oh, thanks. I'll come get it. Just great faith because of the seed sown, the disciplines done by faith. sharing, serving in church, coming to church. Church attendance is a discipline, amen, that God says to us we must not forsake, because there's some things that happen in church that just don't happen at home. The corporate anointing, the word that you need for that season, for your assignment, amen. So those are the spiritual disciplines. We're going to be discussing them in our groups, and I'd like us to answer two questions. Number one is, what are the spiritual disciplines that you feel you need to still step into, that you're not totally stepping into yet? Amen. And number two, any prayer needs that we can pray for tonight? Well, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that your anointing is on the word. Father, I thank you that this next season, we will really step into these disciplines with faith, Lord, and do it just consistently, Father God. We know, Lord, that as we give time to these disciplines, as we step in by faith, that you do things. Father God, prayer is life-changing, Lord God. Worship is life-changing, Father God. Praying in the Spirit is life-changing. Thank you, Father God, that we can take our kids and our disciples on this journey. As we pray in the Spirit, we take them with us. As we pray, we take them with us. As we read and we meditate, we impart to them. Father God, I thank you for the supernatural encounter that we have with everything that you have imparted to us, spiritual disciplines that produce a harvest of generations of disciples, Lord God, in the natural, in the physical. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you have given us the tools, and that for everything that we are facing, there is a tool so that we can stand in victory. And I bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.